DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Ordained a priest from the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, Monsignor Essef has served as a retreat director and confessor to Blessed Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats internationally for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived around the globe, including Lebanon, serving the pontifical missions there. It is a Catholic organization established by Blessed John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. Monsignor Essef assisted the founders of the Institute for Priestly Formation and continues to serve as a spiritual director for the Institute. He also actively serves as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today, the heart of the teaching today is that text from Galatians, that Christ has so loved us, Christ has so united himself to us, that each baptized person can say, this is the most powerful direct quote that Paul has in all of his teaching. And he experienced that Christ is in us. Christ is through us living in the world today. He says in Galatians, the second chapter, and it's in the Mass today, I live, no, not I, but Christ lives in me. And Jesus lives in his paschal mystery. In the flesh I have died, so that when I was baptized, I died to the old person, to the son of Adam and Eve, to the human one that was in me, that was given to me by my parents. The flesh that I received from my mother and father, which was under sin and Satan and death, was redeemed by Jesus Christ and his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. When I was baptized, I was baptized into his life, and now I live. The I that lives is me. At the deepest part of my being, baptism goes to the very core and center of my whole being, and it enters deeper than any other force and power. It now is my life. I live. I live in him, and that life is the life of Jesus that is in every baptized person. It is in his thoughts, it is in his soul, it is in his body, it is in his spirit. I live in him, and he lives in me. And as I live this life in seed form from the moment I'm baptized, in faith, in hope, and in love, those theological virtues are given to everyone. You are Christ in the world from the moment you have been baptized. Every event in your life, when you were a year old, when you were two, when you were three, when you were five, when you were in preschool, when you were in school, whatever you lived through, each one who is hearing me and listening to me, who are you? That's what St. Paul says, and that's what Jesus is teaching us, and that's the most radical truth about every one of us. So that now, in a way that no one else like me existed in this world, just like me, the Father in creating me and Jesus in redeeming me had a plan for me that by the power of the Holy Spirit, by water and the Holy Spirit, was begun in us at my baptism. Every movement, every incident, an event of my life, I live. No, not I, but Christ lives in me. So when I get sick, when I had a fall, when I injured myself, that was Jesus in me suffering. That was like when you say, Jesus fell three times on the way to Calvary. I fell in me, through me, Jesus fell. Jesus suffered in me, through me, Jesus suffers. Every day, not only physically, but we do suffer physically. Those of us who have cancer, those of us who have heart trouble, every single suffering, arthritic pain is his. When you fell and broke your leg, when you hurt and injured your arm, that was his. He in you is suffering. If you're in hospice now, he is dying in you. And for those who are dead, he has risen in you. That the suffering, the death, and the resurrection. When you went to your mother's funeral, what did they celebrate? It was the Mass of the resurrection. All of us who are baptized Catholics know this liturgy. You get sprinkled with the baptismal water that reminds us of the day we were baptized. And so when Blessed John Paul, our Holy Father, 4 billion people watched his burial, we know now what it is to be a Catholic saint. They sprinkled his body just like every other Christian. When he was baptized in Poland, he began his Christian life. When he was shot by Agi Aja, he was suffering. He almost died. What did he do? Just as Jesus, he forgave those who hated him. And he was hated. And he was loved. And when he was dying in that upper room, hardly breathing, he died. Jesus in John Paul II suffered and died. And then he rose. Where is he? And we celebrate, we call him Blessed John Paul, the great John Paul. When Mother Teresa was baptized in Albania, and when she suffered through her life, and when she closed her eyes in death, on that particular September day in 1997, where was she? She's in glory. So the Christian is suffering and dying and rising. Now, some of us forget who we are in the world. I believe that the readings in today's Mass on Father's Day are very important for all of us. Listen carefully. Nathan comes to the king, King David, because of his adultery with Bathsheba. Nathan is going to accost him and talk to him about what had happened there. When a prophet meets a king, he just stands right there. Nathan is telling David about this poor shepherd who only had one sheep, and the shepherd who had 1,000 sheep actually took the little lamb that he had, and then when he afraid he was going to complain about it, he killed him. So when David heard this, David grew angry with the man and said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, that man who has done this merits death. He shall restore the ewe lamb fourfold because he has done this, and he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are that man." The arrogance of David the king. He was the one who took Bathsheba from Uriah. And when Uriah was going to find out that David was the one who committed adultery with his wife, he had him killed. David was a manipulative, depraved, horrible individual, and he wasn't aware. He was insensitive to his own depravity. Nathan then tells him, "I anointed you king of Israel. I rescued you from the hands of your foes and Saul. I gave you the Lord's house. I did this for you, and I did that for you, is what Nathan is telling him. How much, so many times in our lives, God has given us so much, and we are insensitive, unaware of what God has given us. I believe, my brothers and sisters, that when God has given me the power, listen to this, to live the life of Jesus Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, many of us are unaware, just like David, of all that God has given us, the power, the grace, the blessings. David was king of Israel. David had all the power and wealth and gifts surrounding him. You and I have been given Jesus in baptism. I am in you. You are in me. In my kingdom, you are one with my Son, Jesus. The kingdom that I, your Father, have given you is that you are in Jesus, my Son. Everything that I gave him, I have poured into you. How many of us are just like David, unaware of the gifts that have been poured into our hearts? In the same way, Jesus in the Mass today is telling a Pharisee. This Pharisee invited Jesus into his home, and when he invited him, he wanted Jesus to come into his house. Supposing we have had something like an enthronement in our house, could it be that we are the Pharisees, unaware of what Jesus has done by coming into our whole heart and our being? And so when a woman comes into the Pharisee's house and she sees Jesus, this is the scene in today's Mass. There was a sinful woman in the city who learned that Jesus was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and she began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee, who had invited her, saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would certainly know what kind and sort of woman this was that's touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed him 500 days' wages. The other owed him 50. Since they were both unable to repay the debt, he forgave the debt to both of them. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said to him, "The one, I suppose, whose debt was larger, that he forgave." He said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman here? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time that I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, hence she has shown great love. But the one who loves is forgiven, the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others who were at table said to them, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." You and I, many times, are like that Pharisee. And so when this woman comes, she stands behind him. She's ashamed. She's a sinner. And Jesus sees her and the outpouring of sorrow that she has. Only God knows that. But the story in today's gospel and the story of today's mass is David, the hypocrite. David, the arrogant. This Pharisee, a hypocrite. This Pharisee who is so judgmental of her. Many times when we come to mass after a week of whatever headlines and people that we've been around, have we lived what Paul said in that second reading? "I live, no, not I, but Christ lives in me. I am not David. I am not a Pharisee. I am Jesus." And when I come to Mass for that 1 hour a week, and I kneel before the Eucharist, and I receive Holy Communion, and in my arrogance and in my laziness, I do not live 24 hours a day the life of Jesus. When I do not have the mind of Jesus, when I do not have the words of Jesus, when I do not have the actions of Jesus, each and every day, the laziness, the sloth that exists in my heart and yours, every day, every single day, I want to live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, what St. Paul says. And he, as a disciple of Jesus, says, "I live. No, not I, but Christ lives in me." Now, if Paul can do it, so can John Esef. So can you. Every one of us has a power through grace, through the divine life that courses through us. I can live in my mind, especially in my thoughts. I can think with the mind of Jesus. St. Paul says in Philippians, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." Do I see 24 hours a day with the mind of Jesus? Do I look at these people that I see every day? Do I see Christ in them? I have a power to. I have a power to see Jesus. I have a power to love Jesus in everyone I meet. When I walked into the dining room here in Creighton, there's a beautiful lady who just there taken our cards. She's my sister. She is a member of the body of Christ. To see that when I see someone here cleaning and making the rounds here at the university, that's my brother. When I met this beautiful old black lady one day, and she said to me, "We have brothers and sisters we haven't met." Every day I meet them. New brothers, new sisters. Every day we are in the heart and mind of Christ. I can think 24 hours a day with Jesus. I can pray with the heart of Jesus. When I get up in the morning, when I take my shower, when I'm having breakfast, when I'm working out in the gym, when I'm going to work, when I'm driving, whenever I am here in this world, every single day of my life, I am Christ. Just like those who have died and gone before us, I have been baptized into Christ Jesus. I live in Christ Jesus, and my eternal life depends on my living that. Many of us are challenged by this. This is the real challenge. One time, Philip Neri picked a drunk up out of the gutter, and he was helping him along the way. And someone said to him, "How can you associate with a man like that?" And Philip said, "This, but for the grace of God, is me. I have all this potential." Augustine, when he was badgered by Jerome for the past life that he led, living with a paramour and having bastard children, said to Jerome, who was a paragon of perfection, like this Pharisee, he said to him, "The grace of God that forgave me is the same grace that preserved you. If you've been preserved from sins of the flesh, then God has done that, not you. Thank God." And what Philip Neri said about the drunkard, "But for the grace of God, this is me." All glory to Jesus. He is the only one. When I live a life of sinlessness, and I can, and we all can, when we live this life, it is Christ in us that lives that life. When Paul in Romans is talking about his temptations and his weaknesses, he says in the 7th chapter, "I want to do this, but I don't. I don't want to do this, and I do what I hate. I do what I hate to do, and what I want to do, I don't do. Oh, what a wretched man I am. All glory and praise to Jesus Christ. I am a miserable, wicked sinner, but he who lives in me is the sinless one. I, through the grace of God, have Christ living in me by baptism, by confirmation, and every day, please God, by the Eucharist, his body, his blood, his soul and divinity, through prayer, through the union that I can have with Jesus Christ. Today, my brothers and sisters, is a magnificent day for Father's Day. Beloved fathers, holy men of God, be a saint. Jesus is in you. You can reflect to your children Jesus. He is in you. He loves through you. Each of your children, you can see with the eyes of Christ. You can actually love them with the heart and love of Christ. Fathers, bless your children. You have a power. One of the greatest blessings in the world is to bless your children. A father's blessing is like God's blessing. Today, on Father's Day, I encourage you, when you take your children to Mass, the priest will give them a blessing and ask God to watch over them and you. But you bless your children. Bless your wife. This power is in you. It's Christ in you. May each of us be filled with the power, the glory, and the blessings of Christ. We are Christ in the world. I live, no, not I, but Christ lives in me. All glory and power and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, Savior and Redeemer, only Savior, only Redeemer. There is no other than Jesus.
Is it an American concept that somehow we have to have our own autonomy, that somehow that we're the rugged individual and that we have ourselves and then Christ is over there? I still have to be me. And surrendering that me is maybe the hardest part.
Americans have brought it to its height. I think it's very much expressed in the Olympics. Higher, faster, stronger. And the gospel is really saying lower, slower, weaker. The human condition is so weakened after the fall that we are truly in that state. And self-reliant people, and I can do it, and who we think we have pushed this to its limits. I would also say it's even harder for American men. I can't is the worst word that we can hear. I can't. Or even the word I surrender. Mm-hmm. It seems so un-American. I give up. And everyone who has wanted to live a holy life knows that that's true. Mm-hmm. I can't. There's no one who can keep God's law. The Jews were a perfect example of the failure of the law to be kept by them. No one kept it. Only one, and that was Mary. And she was conceived without that original sin. The only one then who has brought it to perfection was Jesus Christ, who came into the world through Mary, born not of human flesh, but of God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus did it. But not only did he do it, he gave to each of us the power to do it. Isn't it amazing when I look for outstanding people, especially to who live this? Who do we have assigned as someone who really broke the barrier of race? Catholic? No, I don't think so. Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. He is the one who laid down his life. What did he do? He suffered, he died, and he rose in his love of his brothers. He said to all of us, I don't want to be your brother-in-law. I want to be your brother in Jesus, because we're all from one Father. And so the power of this can be lived by us. I think we Catholics and our leadership and our power to demonstrate this, that we do have it. We do have outstanding saints in the Catholic Church. But how many of them are really American? I think when I look at these new ones who are being considered for sainthood, mm-hmm. You know, thank God for John Paul, Polish. Thank God for Mother Teresa, Albanian. But what about us here in the United States? If we keep relying on ourselves, then we're going to have someone like Fulton Sheen. There's an American that really knew how to preach. Same thing, he preached this. But was he rejected? Sure he was, by many and most of his fellow bishops, principally by the Cardinal of New York. He was looked down on. Mm-hmm. He was a saint.
And Father Flanagan.
Ah, there's the one.
He came to Omaha, Nebraska, and transformed the city.
Praise God. Yeah, we can do it, but we have to know that we can't do it. Thanks for the question.
Final thoughts, Monsignor?
Happy Father's Day, all of you fathers. Bless your children. You have a power. You're Jesus to your children. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif. To hear and or to download this reflection along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif.